I want you to look with me again at the series scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. The Bible says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Aren't you glad we're in the year of the more? Do you believe he's still able to do exceedingly abundantly? Is that his will for your life? Yes, and today we're going to talk about how to tap into the more in terms of your redemption. To understand redemption, you have to understand the basis of it. Because of Genesis 3, because of course the fall of man, we fell under a curse. And immediately in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says that God put a plan in motion to deal with the curse. And that was going to be, as we know today, his son being sacrificed for you and for me. We often will call the book of Isaiah the fourth gospel because it tells in rich detail and prophesies what he would do for us. For example, in Isaiah 53, he literally carried our burdens and bore our sicknesses and disease. By his stripes were what? Were healed. He was afflicted. He was wounded. He was beat. He was crucified for you and for me. And there is no other remedy for sin. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Look at somebody say, redeemed by the blood. Shout it out again, redeemed by the blood. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Then in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 57, "You came near when I called you, and you said, 'Do not fear. You, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life.'" Aren't you glad there is redemption in him? In Job 19:26, he says this, despite everything he was going through, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Now, if Job can know that all those years ago, and we're on the other side of the cross, on the other side of the resurrection, surely we know it more than Job did. "I know that my Redeemer lives." And he doesn't even stop there. He goes on to say this, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. He understood there was redemption for us, but he also understood, "I'm going to take possession one day." Can I tell you what's getting ready to happen in this world? Possession. The one who lives is returning to take what he has actually redeemed or bought back. To redeem literally means to buy back and restore, as in paying a ransom for. It means to trade something precious and valuable to get something back, to regain it in terms of possession, in terms of knowing now that you have invested in that with something precious, it is now yours. That's what he did for us with his blood. You and I literally were redeemed. We were ransomed, and the cost was not some money or some gold or some building or some prize, but it was the blood of the sacrificed Lamb of God, who does what? He takes away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad for that? And now Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it spells it out. "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sins." Look at somebody and smile and say, "Thank God for the blood." I know around the world today, particularly in Western Christianity, there's less emphasis on the cross and less emphasis on the blood. But if there was no cross, if there is no blood, you and I are still in our sin today. I want to point out to you that it's not just because we have faith and this is, you know, our particular persuasion or what we believe, and so it's dear to us and everybody believes what they believe. The important thing is, there's not even another world religious leader who even claimed to shed their blood for mankind, let alone rose from the dead after shedding that blood. There literally is only one source of that blood, And out of all the confusion that's out there in the world, out of all the things you could believe, out of all the philosophies you could be deceived by today, you sit here today knowing whose blood was shed for you. I'm telling you, that's the key. You've got to know whose blood you need. And the blood that you need is the blood of the Lamb. No matter how they spin it, no one ever shed their blood for you and for me but Him. No one was qualified to. Sinless, spotless Son of God. Say that, the sinless, spotless Son of God. Johnny Depp plays, of course, Jack Sparrow, tells Barbossa, I know whose blood you need. That needs to be something on our hearts every day that we live. For this world that's fallen, we know whose blood you need. Nothing else will do. Can't work enough, can't give enough, can't recite enough prayers, can't do enough good works, it won't get you there. You need the blood to be redeemed. Amen. Now that said, what have you been redeemed from? You've been redeemed from the curse. You've been redeemed from something to something. And that's the good news today. In Psalm 130, verse 7, it says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. This is what God wants to impress upon your hearts today, that you begin to enjoy not just a part of a redemption, but enjoy full redemption. Say that with me, full redemption. He didn't die a partial death. He died completely for you and for me. He didn't suffer partially for you and for me. He suffered completely for you and for me. And He would not want you to have a partial redemption in your life. Look at somebody and say, full redemption.
Full redemption.
First of all, you've been redeemed from spiritual death, but to eternal life.
Amen.
Say that with me. I've been redeemed from spiritual death to eternal life. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, to be separated from God forever, but in Christ, it's not about what He did just to release you from the curse, but He wanted to bring you to something. We'll talk a whole lot more about that life that He provided next week. Number two, He redeemed you from sickness and disease to something, to divine healing, divine health, and divine life. For those that haven't been around here very long, let me explain this to you. You and I have a call and a purpose and a mission in this life. And He wants to restore you and keep you healthy to fulfill that mission and call in your life. And He did that through His redemption. Yes, He redeemed you from spiritual death unto eternal life, but He also redeemed you from sickness and disease. With that same blood. One level of that is when you're ill, He restored you supernaturally with His divine healing power. When you're well, He sustains you in a thing called divine health. How many can raise your hand and say, most of my life I've been healthy? Well, who did that? That's just natural happenstance. No, it's not. It's the hand of a loving God. You have walked a big part of your life. I don't know what divine health is. I never experienced it. Oh, yes, you have. You just didn't recognize it when you had it.
Right.
But I'll tell you, you do recognize it when you don't have it. But there comes a time when you say, thank God I'm divinely healed, and thank God for divine health, when you realize you're now supposed to be a source of divine life for other people, where you lay hands on the sick. And they recover. This redemption was never meant to be ending with us. It should be passed on to other people. So we're redeemed from spiritual death to eternal life. We're redeemed from sickness and disease to divine healing, divine health, and divine life. But we're also redeemed from lack and poverty to abundance and prosperity. This is where religious people lose their minds. Not realizing if God can redeem you spiritually from the pit of hell, is it a big deal for Him to put some money in your pocket?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you discern this? You go to Deuteronomy 28 and you read all the consequences of the curse, and they can be basically reduced to three categories: spiritual consequences like eternal death and life in terms of what happens to people, things affecting you physically, and things affecting your ability to provide on this earth. And guess what? His blood took care of all of them. Now, I said that to say this: I am not going to let some armchair quarterback theologian talk me out of what Jesus' blood was shed to give me. I'm not going to compromise on my eternal life, amen, because they don't like that doctrine. Or I'm not going to compromise on his ability to heal because they say he doesn't heal anymore. And I'm not going to compromise on God's ability to provide for his people in this life because they don't like it. The old-fashioned phrase, they can just lump it. Why? Because the highest price that ever be given on earth was given for your redemption from that curse. He saves, he heals, he delivers, he prospers, he guides, he empowers, he does all of this. And it was done because of his blood. Raise your hand and say, thank God. Say, thank God. For the blood. Say, thank God. For the blood. Say it again, thank God. For the blood. But you know, it doesn't really matter. No matter what he has done, if we don't actually believe in him, receive it. So the question is, why are we still defeated, still get sick from time to time, go through long times and battles financially? Why does it seem that we don't experience all of it or all that he has to offer in any given moment in time? It's because you and I, because of the blood, have been given access to a victorious life, access to healing and health, access to abundance, but you have to stand in faith and agree with your redemption. There are people who don't even know this teaching. They just think that Christianity is Jesus died for me and I'm going to heaven. They don't have a clue about what redemption really is, the full implications of redemption. So part of it is a level of ignorance and not stupidity. Look at somebody and say, Pastor Art's not calling people stupid. I'm saying we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We're talking about very simply this. People, a lot of people don't know this. I never knew this. I didn't grow up hearing about classical redemption, and yet it's there all the time in Scripture. If you see it and you read it, you discern it. It's there all the time. But many of us didn't know it. And maybe you're here today. You've never been taught about classic redemption. But then you have to actually believe that this is for you. In other words, how many would believe he died for your sins? He also died for your health. He also died for your provision. If you just believe number one, you can get number one. If you believe number one, number two, you can have number one, number two. If you believe number one, number two, number three, guess what? You can have them all. But if you choose not to believe part of your redemption, don't criticize somebody else for believing it. That's your religious prerogative. Some it's ignorance, some it's just they just don't believe it. And partly, it's just renewing your mind to everyday stand for it. Once you understand what redemption is, once you understand you've got to accept it and believe it and receive it, then you're going to have to stand for it with all of your heart. And having done all to stand, you stand. You don't take no for an answer. Amen. Are you here today? Why is redemption so important? What if there was no cross? How many thank God there was? And how many thank God he crawled up on that cross? Don't think for a minute that they nailed him to that cross. He allowed them to nail him to that cross. He allowed them to thrust a spear through his side. He allowed them to put a crown of thorns on him. For what purpose? Well, first of all, if there's no redemption, there is no forgiveness. Zero. You and I are still in our sins. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, Ephesians 1:7. Colossians 1:13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom, brought us into the kingdom of his Son. He loves in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I mean, you could stop right there and celebrate all day long. Yeah. Anybody here glad that you have been delivered from sin? Glory to God. You've been forgiven. I mean, it's staggering to think that on that cross, he bore every sin of every individual who ever lived, whoever will live, simultaneously. This is why you don't let the devil beat you up over what you've done in the past. You're forgiven. Amen. There is no condemnation. Are you in Christ today? Yes. Then condemnation has no business being in your life. Amen. He paid it all, didn't he? Yes, amen. But if there's no redemption, if there is no redemption, there's no forgiveness. Number two, no redemption, there's no return to God. There's no pathway back to him. Listen to this from Isaiah 44. Remember these things, Jacob, for you, Israel, are my servant. I have made you. You are my servant, Israel. I will not forget you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. You know, his message hasn't changed. You could be sitting here today and you're far from God in your heart, or maybe you've never walked with him. You've never known him. You've never given your life to him. He has one message for you today. Return to me. My son has paid the price. Accept the price and return to me. Turn to somebody and smile and say, return to him. Say it again, return to him. He's paid the price. Aren't you glad that if you're in a pig pen today, you can get up and go home? Amen. Aren't you glad if you're in church, but you're still in a mental and an emotional pig pen, you can get out and go home? Amen. Wherever you are, you can go home. No cross, there is no way back to the Father. There is one name, say it, one name, under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through what? No redemption. There is no pathway to God. You see, when we say that there is no other name, we tell people that Jesus is the only way, and they get offended because they were taught a different tradition, religion, or cultural understanding about the events of this world and how men can possibly be redeemed and saved. It's not that we're being selfish, pig-headed, or arrogant. We're simply telling them the truth. There's only one way. Because only one person shed their blood for you. No redemption, there's no way back. But aren't you glad there is a way back? And how many say today you found it in him? Aren't you glad that you're not out there in confusion, in a walkabout like out there in Australia outback? You know the truth, and it has set you free. Glory to God. Such a precious redemption that we have. Number three, there's no redemption, there's no release of the curse. If you've not embraced his blood, you're still under a curse. Well, what's the big deal? The big deal is when you have accepted him and you have redemption in your life, you have now had the blessing restored to you. The curse has been lifted. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. That release from the curse only comes through the blood of Jesus. Bulls couldn't do it. Goats can't do it. Animals can't do it. Amen? It's only through the blood. See, when you're under a curse, you're empowered to fail. Some of you wonder how you could possibly fail so well in this life. It's because you're empowered to fail. But when you get the blessing restored, you're now empowered to succeed. You are not a failure. If you have Christ in your life, you are not a failure. You are not a failure. Amen. And now you're empowered to succeed. Smile real big and say, I'm success happening and getting ready to happen all the days of my life. I've been redeemed from the curse. It's not just my sins are forgiven, I'm going to heaven. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. And this is written in the past tense. Christ redeemed us. Past tense. You sit here redeemed from the curse of the law. Glory to God. Number four, you're redeemed. If there's no redemption, there is no covenant. Is it important for us to have covenant through Jesus Christ with the Father? Yes. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Redemption literally set in motion an eternal covenant, a better covenant, with covenant kindness. God's attitude towards you now is only one of kindness. You know, when he gets up, when he thinks about you, you know, in terms of your life, we know that God never slumbers nor sleeps, but his thoughts about you are not evil. They are good. There's a reason for that. There's a reason we can tell you with great authority that God is not the one beating you up, running you over, destroying your life just to teach you a lesson. Because you have covenant with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Blood has been shed. No redemption, no covenant. But good news, you have a covenant because there has been redemption.
Yes.
Yes.
And what is God doing for you now? Nothing but kindness. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, God is nothing to you but kind. And you know, when God is kind, it's always in action. Something good getting ready to happen in your life. Come on, say it. Something good is getting ready to happen in my life because he's kind towards the redeemed. We know he's loving and kind to those that don't even recognize him. But how much more to those with a covenant? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Number five, no redemption, no blessing. He redeemed us in order the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. The curse is removed and the blessing is restored.
Yes.
And a big emphasis in that blessing and understanding the blessing is to value what God has done by causing the Holy Spirit to come into your life. When you got born again, he came in there to live. When you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you received an empowerment, an endowment from on high. Not just him dwelling in there, but you being immersed in his person. This is the blessing, part and parcel. Let me help you understand this because I still see people born again, even spirit-filled, walking around, talking like the world, talking religious trash, talking Phariseeism, because they don't understand they're blessed people. Just because you haven't activated the full measure of the blessing in your life doesn't mean you're not blessed. Everything you need for the blessed life came when the Holy Spirit entered into your life. You're blessed. Now, does anybody here testify that you know you're saved and you know the Spirit of God came into your life to dwell? Can you confess that? Well, you have the blessing in you right now. You're not cursed people. You're blessed people. You're not empowered to fail. You're empowered to succeed. You now have the power of God to increase, to excel, to bear much fruit, to have longevity, to make a difference. Listen, it's not about did God do what he said he would do? Did God impart what he said he would impart to us? He did. You're walking around a two-footed blessing today, and half the time we don't even understand it. Every single day you live, it should be a blessed day, and you should be a blessing to somebody else. Because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you.
That's right.
Say it,
I have
the Holy Ghost
living
on the inside of me. I don't want to offend you today, but you can confess Buddha all day long, but you won't get the blessing. You go around, do all kinds of works for him and kill in some God's name, but you won't have the blessing.
Right.
Blessing came when you got born again.
Yes.
It's learning how to walk in it and activate it every single day that is the key.
Right.
Like everything else, it's functional knowledge. Does that make sense? Well, Pastor, would you explain it to me? Yes. Anybody here fly? I mean, you're a passenger. Raise your hand. If you've ever flown in any kind of aircraft whatsoever. Okay, maybe you haven't, but go with me. Let's say that, you could be in first class, business class, you could be in coach, wherever you are, you're a passenger. And maybe you do this like twice a week. Maybe you're a business person and you're all over the globe traveling and you fly. You do not have the same working knowledge of that plane as the guy or gal in the cockpit. You have a benefit knowledge of flying. They serve you drinks and peanuts, which they change to pretzels because of peanut allergies. God help us if they ever say that pretzels cause allergies. But the guy sitting back there in coach does not have the same working knowledge, and yet both of them are what? Flying. Our job is to take that blessing and develop a working knowledge of how to manifest what the blessing will actually do. But can I tell you something? You take somebody here today who is manifesting the blessing in their lives. God's doing great things in their life, wonderful things in their life. And take somebody else who's not manifesting anything. It's not that one is more blessed than the other. The blessing is the empowerment. The blessings are the fruit of that empowerment. I see your hands up here. You know you gave your life to Christ.
Yeah.
You're blessed.
Yeah.
Raise your hand again. You're blessed.
Yeah.
Not gonna get blessed. You're blessed. And every day say, I am cultivating a working knowledge of how that blessing operates in my life. But guess what? No redemption, no blessing. God, it's not that God doesn't love people, but they have to go through the pathway of his son's blood to walk in the blessing of God. Say, thank God.
Thank God.
I'm blessed.
Say,
I'm blessed.
I can't be cursed.
I've been redeemed from the curse. Say, I'm blessed. I'm supposed to be blessed. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. And everything I put my hand to prospers. I'm not cursed. My bloodline's not cursed. Mom and them aren't cursed. My kids aren't cursed. My grandkids aren't cursed. This nation's not cursed. This town's not cursed. This land's not cursed. Why? Because blessed people occupy it. That's why. You determine what happens with your downline. I call Sarah blessed. I call Timothy blessed. I call Andrew blessed. I call Juliana blessed. As many descendants and lines that we have till Jesus, amen, decides through the Father's command to come back blessed. Make up your mind. You've been redeemed. And if you've been redeemed, there's only one way to describe you. And it's blessed. But we have got to push out that old dog cursed thinking. It's time for you to retire the old Mephibosheth.
That's right, man. That's right.
And scoot up to the king's table. And just say, well, thank God you found me.
Amen.
Thank God you brought me back.
Amen.
And you know what, Lord? I repent for calling myself an old dog. I must be pretty special for you to seek out and find me in Ziklag and bring me back to your table. What are you? You're blessed. Aren't you glad you've been redeemed? Because of redemption, you can be blessed. Glory to God. Say it, I'm blessed.
I'm not cursed.
Say it, I'm blessed. I'm not cursed. See, why is that important? Because too many Christians walking around defeated. They don't fully understand the impact of what God has done. Number six, no redemption, no glorification. Not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even when we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. What happens in glorification is it starts with getting born again. And then one day, there's going to be this monumental day where the trumpet sounds. There's going to be a shout from heaven. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And they're not going to rise up with the same kind of flesh they had that went down. They're going to rise up with an incorruptible flesh, like the Lord presently has right now. And then those that are still here, anybody here willing to stay around or be part of that? You'll be caught up together in the clouds with them. And what's going to happen is, in a split second, you're going to die. In a split second, you're going to live. And your body is going to be glorified. But there is no glorification, the restoration of God's presence and power and goodness in our body, amen, our soul and our spirit, our mind, our emotions, our will. There is no glorification without redemption. Thank God he shed his blood. Yes. Now you and I one day will be like he is. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your knees aren't going to pop.
Amen.
You're not going to strain to read anything. You're going to hear perfectly.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're going to eat a lot without getting fat. Did Jesus cook up some fish or didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And for you and for me that are going to be there, the Redeemer, is going to be a great banquet.
Yes.
It's not going to be a 5-hour PowerPoint presentation. It's going to be a banquet. Hallelujah. You won't have to curse those carbs. Because your body is incorruptible at that point. Well, Pastor, I never realized how much our redemption did. That's why they give you pastors. So you'll understand the breadth of how blessed we really are. Glory to God. Amen. Everything about your body will function perfectly. To my medical friends, you're out of a job. Willingly, amen. Glory to God. It's something to get excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look out in the times and the seasons and see what's going on to know that, amen, we're there.
Yes.
We don't know the time. We don't know the hour. We don't know the day. We do know the seasons.
Yes.
Amen.
And the season for his returning is upon us.
Yes.
Our job is to be ready for sure.
Yes.
Amen. Say it with me. No redemption.
No redemption.
No glorification.
No glorification.
Right now, there should be glorification taking place in terms of what your mind, your will, your emotions are doing, and to the point of keeping your body healthy to do what you're called to do. But one day, a perfect body. Amen. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
Do you still believe that?
Yes.
Say, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we will be caught up together with them. Hallelujah. Number seven, no redemption, no heaven. It's as simple as that. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and mourning shall flee away. Isaiah 51:11. Here's the point. The only people that get into heaven are the redeemed. That's it. No redemption. No heaven. Well, that's awful narrow-minded, isn't it? It has nothing to do with being narrow-minded. If you haven't noticed, there is one true God. And he sets the rules. And here's the rule. Man is fallen. Without hope. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only begotten son. And what does that mean? It means he's going to put him on a cross. And there's going to be lots of blood shed. And it's going to produce redemption for those that embrace it. It's not about somebody trying to be wrong or right religiously or trying to one-up some other religion. It's very simple. It doesn't make any difference what you've called yourself or what you call yourself today. If you don't have the blood, you don't go in. Nothing that has not been washed in the blood does not enter. It has nothing to do with narrow-mindedness. People will say, well, you live your truth, I'll live mine. My truth will get me to heaven. Your truth will get you to hell.
Yeah.
Mine's better. It has nothing to do with being argumentatively right or correct. It's about the reality of the situation. There's only one who redeemed you. And only the redeemed will walk on those streets. That's why in these last days we have to do more than we've ever done before to reach the unreached and tell the untold. Amen. But here's the point to you today. Redemption includes so many amazing things. And we need to, you know, embrace those, and we need to desire what God is trying to do through that redemption. The question is, if I'm not enjoying redemption like I should, how do I actually, you know, expand that in my life? How do I measure and say, you know, there could be more of this redemption manifesting in my life? How many can say with a raised hand, there is more that could be, you know, manifested in your life? You're not ashamed to say it. You're walking in a measure, but there could be more. Well, we'll join the club. Amen. Let me leave this with you today. Bless the Lord. Number one, you need to believe your full redemption. Believe it. Stop saying it's about sin and going to heaven. That's all it's about. Believe the full redemption. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
Do you believe that today? It doesn't matter what Jesus has done if you don't believe it. Take the next several weeks finding and meditate on every redemption scripture you can find, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you'll find out for yourself what redemption includes. He has really a wonderful eternal life for you. Do you believe that today? Number two, declare your full redemption. It's great if you believe it. Stop being ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Can we talk?
Yeah, we can.
Stop being ashamed to be called the tongue talker.
Amen.
And one of them spirit-filled people.
Amen.
One of them word of faith people. And one of those Pentecostals.
Yes.
Next time somebody tries that, step forward, not back. And lift your voice up and say, I am not going to be ashamed of any dimension of the redemption of God. A high price was paid for me to be spirit-filled and to give me the gift of tongues and to give me the power of God. How dare you? Some little Pharisee, you know, Minnie Mouse response. No, it's time for you to be bold. Believe and begin to declare what he has given you. Psalm 107 couldn't be clearer on this in verse 2. Let the what? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then somebody wrote a song, and a church began to sing the song. And so they go something like this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then what would people say? So. That's not what this means.
Right.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say the word so. No. Let the redeemed of the Lord say they're redeemed. And celebrate that in front of people. Amen. Go around all day long tomorrow talking about what redemption would be. We know what will happen if the redemption is not there, but what happens when the redemption is there? I say it. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm Holy Ghost filled. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm the healed. Hallelujah. I'm the prosperous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have God's power operating in my life. Amen. He has a plan to prosper me and give me a future and hope. Hallelujah. Not to harm me. Begin to declare your redemption. Everybody out in that world is declaring their nonsense right now, and it's the Christians who are silent. They used to say, everybody's come out of the closet. Well, that's past tense. They're already out. Now it's time for us to what? Declare our redemption. Has he done something good in your life?
Yeah.
Raise your hand if he's done something good in your life. Let the redeemed of the Lord Foe. Somebody should have really thought through that one. Let him say so. Let him amen it. Let him call it the fact that I am the redeemed. Look at somebody and tell him, you've got to believe your full redemption. You've got to declare your full redemption. And number three, you need to expect your full redemption. Live every day expecting for more of that redemption to manifest. You know what's going to happen is your expectation one day is going to meet realization. But here's what the scripture says. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. I get a lot of questions about this, you know, eclipse. It's just another sign. I don't have to force it into meaning something that it's not. But I should say, you know what? This is exactly the kind of thing he's talking about. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint with terror. See, it's not global warming that's doing the tossing of the sea.
That's right. That's right.
It's actually a sign.
Yes, it is.
People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Say that my redemption is drawing nigh. Shout that out. My redemption. It's not just somebody else's redemption. It's my redemption. And it draweth what?
Nigh.
Expect it. What dimension of redemption could show up tomorrow in your life? What greater manifestation could show up next week in your life if you just dare to believe and declare and expect it? And what happens is you and I, and I'll just leave this with you today, the devil has a goal every single day of your life, and that is to get you into a position of non-resistance. Say that with me, non-resistance. Raise your hand if you really want to see more of your redemption manifest in your life. That's something that's important to you. You understand this. It was blood bought. Don't let anybody rob you of it. Look, I've got the blood that speaks, and I've got a theologian telling me I can't have it. Which voice am I going to believe? I'm going to go with the voice of the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil, in every kind of situation, will love to get you into a position of non-resistance. Your job is to learn to do what James 4:7 says. You submit yourselves to God and you resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee. You say, I'm tired of resisting. Well, let me tell you something. Join the club. Anybody that's been doing this a while has had to learn how to resist. Literally, get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I know you feel like quitting. I know you've been through a lot. I know you've had your head bashed in. I know you've been stabbed in the back. I know you've had physical trials. I know you had financial setbacks. I know you had difficulty in your family. But you know what, self? You're going to get up and resist the devil another day. You're going to resist again today. What's the alternative? Position of non-resistance. He tells you you're going to die and not live. You say, I will live and declare the glory of God. You'll never get that healing. I am healed in Jesus' name. By His stripes, I am healed. I resist. God can't help you with that need. He doesn't care about material things. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, shut up, devil. I'm resisting you in Jesus' name. And he'll flee. But you know that honor and cuss will come back again. If he did for Jesus, he'll do for you. Say it, I'm a resister of everything the enemy says. Resist the devil. Resist the creeping of the curse back into your life. Identify when it's trying to come back on you and slam every door that you may have open to it. And Christians, listen to me carefully. Some of us may have some open doors that need to be slammed. Yeah. It's not the devil doing a quarterback sneak on you. You've opened up the front door to it. You say, well, tell me what I'm doing. I can't tell you that, but the Holy Ghost can tell you that. Yeah. To the extent He revealed it to me, I can tell you that. But it's your job to say, hey, Holy Ghost, do I have an open door in my life that's allowing this thing to creep back in there again? Look at somebody and say, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Resist the curse creeping in my life. And resist religious tradition. It makes the word of God of none effect. Of the seven things I gave you, forgiveness, returning to God, releasing of the curse, covenant, blessing, glorification, and access to heaven, tradition teaches very little of that. And let me say it again, just because somebody doesn't want some dimension of redemption doesn't mean you can't believe for it. They're making a decision not to believe what the blood was shed to give them. That's entirely up to them. Come on, stand to your feet and give the Lord a big hand clap and thank Him for it.